This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today I have with me...
Anne Eggers.
And I'm Stuart Perks. Okay, now, and you were talking about after your teacher training, you did some odd bits of work in Australia and started travelling around, and you got as far as Alice Springs. And then you... Where did you go from there?
Oh, from Alice Springs, we headed for... Adelaide. We picked up with the truck drivers because it's a deserted road in those days. It was a very deserted road. And he would have taken us in, and we arrived early morning. At that stage, we could sleep up the back of the truck on the above the seating
the
in the front.
Sleeping area in the cab.
In the cabin.
Okay.
And then we...
So that was, what, two of them travelling together
No, I always travel. Never travelled on my own.
Yeah. But it was common to do hitchhiking then, was it?
Well, the traffic didn't go so far. Probably not to hitchhike through Australia. I mean, there's very little traffic that would go in that direction.
Yeah.
But it wasn't uncommon. No, and I was with Colleen, so we were quite happy. And, I mean, we'd seen Australia by that time.
Yeah.
And so we travelled on, got to Adelaide. From Adelaide, we called on a cousin there. I had a cousin living in Adelaide. We called on her. And then we travelled on to Melbourne. I can remember picking up, I think it was a taxi driver, but it was a big flash car, I remember that. Because he was giving us the, we said, well, we're going to go to the Melbourne Cup. That was the next day. And he was giving us tips on the Melbourne Cup. So... he dropped us off, and off we went and bought ourselves a hat and a dress and went to the Melbourne Cup the next day.
This was 64, about, around that time?
Yes, it must have been 64, 65, 64, I think. And those were the days when they had they wore hats that were 6 feet across.
Yeah.
So there, it was, and very much...
That was the women wearing hats, not the men.
Yeah, the women. I mean, it was very, very posh and very dressed up. It really
was. And were they well behaved, or was there a lot of drinking as well?
Well, nothing that was over. It wasn't obvious in your face, that was for sure.
Yeah.
There was a lot of. I mean, they stood around because it was fashion parade, really. But I mean, we did betting, but we were used to going, as I say, to the TAB or to the getting your ticket from the. From the ticket office.
Yeah.
But no, they had a lot of those that were doing it on the side.
Oh, the bookies on the
bookies on the sideline. Yes.
Okay.
And if you'd booked your ticket the first day, at the beginning of the race meeting, you got better odds than when the race was actually won. But you know, we were a bit slow on that.
Okay.
And of course, the man that we'd come through to Melbourne with, he'd given us the tips on the racehorses, so we. We're having our small bet on the racehorses because he'd given us the correct tip for the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, okay.
But by the time we got round to getting it, it might have been £12 is all we picked up, where it could have been 100 if you'd picked it up at the beginning of the race.
Okay.
But no, that was very nice. And from then we travelled on to Sydney. And I went and stayed with the lady that we had originally come to Australia to... when we first came over with the other two girls. So I stayed with her.
And then... No, it was in Sydney suburbs, was it?
Yes, it was in Glebe.
Okay.
Glebe means church grounds or something. I don't know, but it was Glebe. That was the area just out of the main shopping area. And then I think I caught a ship home.
Yeah. So what was your impression of a place like Adelaide and Sydney?
Oh... It was just houses and shops and things.
Yeah,
it's just a town. No, I'm not. I'm not a city person at all.
Yeah.
No, it's
So you didn't sort of look for interesting buildings or go around harbours or go to zoos or museums or art galleries?
When you've been travelling for I suppose, you know, probably at that stage, probably a couple of weeks by then, now you're ready to go off home again. And I've been away from home. It was coming up Christmas time, if that was the Melbourne Cup. So I was coming home. Yeah. I'd been away a year, over a year.
Yeah.
So I came home and...
So were you, was it sort of backpacking or suitcases or...
I think we had a suitcase. It's a handbag.
Yeah.
It wasn't many
travelling very light. Yeah.
Travelling very light.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure, quite sure how we managed with our clothes. But, we're travelling light, that's for sure. So I came home and went back to my parents in Opunaki and got a job teaching the next year at the local Catholic school. Mm. I've been looking at photos there, the Catholic school, it was St. Joseph's. Mm. It was three classrooms and another classroom in the hall. Even at that stage, there was a long corridor with three classrooms off it. But there was no outside door to get out of from the classroom. You had to go out into the long cloak bay, long corridor to get outside. And I often wondered if
the fire risk.
Yes, the fire risk must have been high, but no. And I was actually graded there. I was the first teacher to be graded in a private school or one that wasn't, straightforward.
Belonging to what does that mean? To be graded?
They graded you as a teacher. You passed your teaching proficiency papers.
Ah, okay.
See, I'd only done...
Was that before your travels or after? Because you did...
No. I'd done my PA year.
Yeah.
And then I was graded the next year. So I passed my PA.
Yeah.
Then I was graded
the following year's teaching.
But,
okay. And that affects where you are on the pay scale or something, did it?
Not really. They just graded you as a teacher.
Hmm.
I'm not sure whether they even still do it now. I've no idea.
So, because, there's talk about good and bad teachers and should good teachers be paid more or something, but...
Well, when you hear that nurses are picking up 100,000 plus now, I only hope they are paying them more.
Yeah, but not... That's more overall where the pay scale is, but the idea of the quality... A tricky issue. How do you assess the quality of a teacher if you want to be paying more money to the better teachers and less to the poorer teachers? It's quite difficult.
Well, they still grade teachers.
Hmm.
And I don't know how it affects your pay scale because I've, from there, I taught there. Oh, God. No, life gets very difficult afterwards.
Yeah.
So I had 2 years at the convent school, St. Joseph's, and then in the December I left the school. That was 2 years later. Decided I was going to England, so I must have left the beginning of December. So I think they gave my kids the rest.
You decided? You always wanted to do more travel, or you just suddenly on a whim thought, "Oh, let's go to England." Or
it was just a whim. Just go.
Okay.
No,
did you think of England as home? Did your parents? Call
No.
Because your parents were here.
My ancestry's Maori and Maori and Irish and Welsh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, England's never been home.
Mm.
No, it was. Well, it was just. I mean, of all safe places, I mean, we only really knew of England. I wouldn't have known even America existed in those days.
Yeah.
You didn't have much, but most of the references would have been to England.
Yeah.
So I caught the Northern Star. My parents drove me
up
to Auckland.
You went by ship?
Went on the ship, yes.
By yourself?
Yeah, by myself. I was in a cabin with, it might have been three people in the cabin. That's where I met Anne. She was an English girl from one of the cities on the coast.
The south coast?
Yes.
Brighton?
No, up higher.
Well, not at the Filey Hole.
No, way up high. Right.
Way high.
No, no.
Are in Northumberland, down at Sunderland, or?
Must have been above Northumberland. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to find the photos. Yeah. I'll think about it in a minute.
Oh.
No, yeah. It was a resort. Brighton, above Brighton.
Oh, Brighton.
No, not further.
No, Bridlington.
No, on that coast.
Is Filey, Bridlington?
No.
No.
I have never
Whitby.
Whitby.
Where Whitby. Captain Cook came from.
Is it where he came from? No, Whitby.
Yeah.
Anne lived there. Mm-hmm. She was the girl I met on the ship.
Mm.
And she was getting married. She was marrying her sweetheart off the Northern Star, which I travelled to London with. Oh, of course, on the way we stopped off at... oh, dear. Oh, I need a map. Lisbon. Boats.
Oh, yeah.
Called in at Rarotonga, but the sea was too rough, so I still haven't seen Rarotonga.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went on... we called it... what would be on the way? Must have called it another place, but I know we called it Lisbon, and I had a lovely look at Lisbon. First time I'd seen Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went on to, we called it Bermuda, another one of the islands.
Went through Panama Canal?
Yes, must have gone through the Panama Canal.
Mm. So do you recall how long the journey took?
Oh, 6 weeks on the ship.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, 6 weeks.
And it was all passengers, was it? Or was
yes,
it,
all passengers.
Yeah. So were you well catered for?
Yes, we were very well catered for. I had a lovely time on the ship. Had enough clothes to wear, so I'd go dancing all night and... I just remember when the ship rolled, you danced in one direction and you danced back the other way when it rolled the other way.
Yeah.
But no, it was lovely.
Was it expensive then to travel?
Oh, I think it might have cost me £1,200.
Yeah.
It really wasn't. I think they worked it out. It was about five pence a mile or something like that because of the distance it took to go.
Yeah.
But it was really nice. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed Brisbane. Not Brisbane, Lisbon.
Lisbon, yeah.
And, and as I say, we went round Bermuda. And I can remember the dark people on Bermuda. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice, good fun. But no, the ship life was incredible. Yeah. It was spread out so you have different things at different times. And, you know, there was the swimming pool, so I did a lot of swimming, but... You know, I've got to be very careful because of my skin. I just sunburn so easily. But, when we played cricket, I remember I captained the New Zealand cricket team on the ship. We used to play with a rope ball, I think it was, make sure it didn't go over the side.
Yeah.
But, no, we had a lot of fun. It was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think they played bingo on it, but I was never a bingo fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... No, that was good. And it docked at Southampton. So from Southampton, I think I caught a train up to London. And fortunately for me, I had somewhere to stay. One of my girlfriends from Teacher College, Judy O'Brien, and... Oh, what's the other one's name? She was from Mahara. No, I've forgotten. So I had somewhere to go. That was at Baron's Court. So I arrived at Baron's Court, and they just sort of made another bed for me on the floor, and I stayed there. So I used to go from there. I started teaching again.
Were your first impressions of Britain then? Did you have any preconceived
expectations? No preconceived ideas. No, no. So. It was the first time I'd seen houses all joined together.
Yeah.
And no. I still can't even look now, and I think of, you know, you're just a door off the street and windows off the street. And it took a while to realise, you know, they had a backyard which possibly had some garden in it, but some of them must have never ever received any sunlight, you know, at all. It was, joined together houses was not something. And brick and concrete, they seem to be made of concrete. I was used to wooden houses all being on
piles.
Piles, yes. Yeah. But
did it feel cold? Brendan?
Yes, it was cold. I remember wearing, you know, my jacket all the time, especially in winter. And you'd go, the day would be cold from the about, oh, I would say lunchtime on, it was cold.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, very cold. No, that was...
And the people, how do you find
it? Well, I suppose you don't really see the people. I mean, how do you meet people? I mean, in our flat, there, as I say, there must have been 9 girls in it. And I mean, we had a week about where we used to have to make the fire go, and it was a coal range in the kitchen, so that kept the house warm. But then you had to stoke, if it was your turn, you had to stoke the fire in the morning and put more coal on it. And I don't think they had wood.
No.
But there were 3 of us sleeping in a bedroom, and it was a big bedroom.
Okay, and this was in London, was
this
it?
This was in London.
So, if it was all coal fires in winter, you would get all the London smogs, wouldn't you?
I can't really remember smog. No, I can't remember it.
Yeah.
No, it's it was a lovely time, really. It was very nice. Yeah, have to think about that for a while.
Okay.
Remember how it all went back.
Yeah. So you were teaching in London.
Yes, I was teaching in London.
What sort of group of children?
Well, it was on a daily basis, so you rang up in the morning to see where you were needed.
Yeah.
And then you just caught a train or a bus and off you went.
Oh, yeah, okay. So you just had general activities for
general
the kids?
General activities, yes, it was general activities. Well, I'm just trying to remember, Steve. I can just remember one kid when I went teaching the... I remember him climbing up. No, that was some of them were different. No, this kid had climbed up had wrought iron fence. It must have been 6 feet high, and the kid had climbed up the fence, and then he had slipped, and he'd caught his jersey in the spike on the fence, and there he was hanging by his blooming jersey on the fence. I remember just lifting him off, but down he went. But that was... That was quite interesting.
Yeah.
But, no.
So, there'd be, if it was a school in London, there'd be a small concreted playground with an iron fence around the outside.
Yes,
and
they, this one had steel bars on it.
With steel bars.
No,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I was very surprised that the playgrounds were so small, probably the size of 2 tennis courts, and that would be it. So, the kids would probably had a staggered lunch time to so that they could have a time to get out. So it must have been, but most of them got fed, and I think they fed us too as well.
Well, school dinners.
Yes, that was
a classic thing.
Yeah, no, it was school dinners.
And do you recall those? Were they? No, it was often there was lots of negative comment about them, but it was probably a healthy mix of food.
It was meat and 3 vegetables. Sometimes it might have been only 2 vegetables, and if you counted the onions in your stew or something. But no, that's what I ate. That was good. No, it was good.
They did say the children from that sort of generation, because of the early on there was the rationing, and then the school dinners, and they're actually very they had a very healthy diet. You know, so they grew up well.
Quite well,
Once they relaxed all that and people could take whatever, then you get people with fizzy drinks
potato chips. Well, we didn't have fizzy drinks. I mean, I still don't drink a lot of fizzy drink.
Yeah.
No, I make my own punch now. Which is fizzy drink. So I suppose I was there 6 months or more, and that's when I think I met Nigel. Nigel was an air traffic controller. And from there, did I come home again? I might have come home. But I went down to Plymouth, and I stayed with Nigel's parents in Plymouth, and I used to do day teaching around. I remember teaching at, was it Holton Infants? And then being quite surprised, and myself being quite surprised, I used to teach them New Zealand songs or poems. And I can remember standing in front of the kid at the assembly with the children, and suddenly out came pure Kiwi colloquialism from their mouths because I had taught them this poem and they had copied my pronunciation.
Oh, yeah.
That was the year that the men went to the moon.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Remember that?
Mm. Yeah.
But, no, and I had a I had a flat. I moved over. No, that was Holton. That was in Plymouth. Then we moved to Wales. So I was teaching in Wales. That was Barry in Wales. So I taught in Wales.
When you say we, you were...
Well, I was with Nigel. He moved to Barry, and then he went over to Guernsey Island. So he was a traffic controller over there. But I stayed at Barry, and the school there. I mean, as I say, the two tennis courts was about the size of the
and
playground.
All concrete, no grass, or was it?
No grass. Never saw any grass. But it must have been a staggered lunchtime to get the kids out and about. But I was quite surprised because they were still reading Janet and John. God, I hadn't taught Janet and John in years. So, I mean, I taught them my way of teaching, where you taught a word and you played it out in books. So they had books to read. You made the books with them and they folded up and they matched them up. No, we did very well. I must have been there 6 months or more.
Yeah. So how did you find the children? Did you think, were they quite
mainly
different?
I taught younger children. I remember one girl asking the teacher where she was going because she had a handbag, and she said, well, she was going, the child said to her, are you going to work? And the teacher looked at her and said, but this is my work. And because she just thought she was a child minder. No, it was quite strange.
Well, maybe if her mother got her handbag, she was going off to work. So she assumed
that's
the thing.
Yeah, but this was her classroom teacher. No, quite different.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was very different. And I remember from Barry, I went to Guernsey, and Guernsey had been occupied during the war. So there were guns and things by the Germans. So there were guns and things around there. And there were underground tunnels, which they didn't let the Germans know about, but which they used. Quite interesting. Quite interesting.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.